Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I'm going to give a teaching tonight from Mark chapter 7. And apparently it was done last week, but you understand that it wasn't done very well. And so I've been asked to come in and fix it all up. That's probably not true, but Pastor Josh, the outfit, I tell you, I thought I was casual, but when I saw you, I'm formal, I've got socks on. He's brilliant, that guy, isn't he? And the glasses, I mean, you can't even be in the pulpit in this church if you don't have spectacles. Mine are just plain. That I don't need them, they look cool. That's what I was told. And so I don't need them, but all right. Mark chapter 7, we're going to put it on the screen. Before you put it on the screen, just let me give you the background to it. There are four Gospels. Pastor Josh, we had a man in my church. He's just going to get baptized in a couple of weeks. I won't tell you his name, but he's a detective. And he teaches martial arts at the police academy. Good guy to have in your church, that's for sure. But the first day that he came, he said yes to Jesus. And he'd never, ever been in church before. That could be your experience here tonight. I'll do tonight what I did that day. When I finished, the last thing I did is I just asked, would anyone want me to pray for them? And I didn't ask anyone to come forward or stand up, but just so we knew who we're going to pray for, I simply said, look, why doesn't everyone just bow their head and sort of just give some people some anonymity, and you just put your hand up and I'll pray for you. So this fellow did that. I had coffee with him a few days later. We got talking in our lobby of our church centre, and so I said, mate, I got time during the week if you want to have a coffee. So we had a coffee. And I said, have you ever been to church before? And I can't tell you what he said, but the adjectives he used made it very clear to me he had probably never been in church before in his life. And I found that quite refreshing, actually. But then I said, so do you have a Bible? He said, no. I said, okay, well, get your phone out. And I downloaded one from an app. You can do it just lickety-split. Free, and I got him one. I told him to read the book of Mark. He thought that was like, ooh. Oh, he said, why? I said, it's the shortest. Were you told, Pastor Steve, were you told to read John as a kid? John's cryptic. You've got to be sort of, is that all right, Greg? Am I not blowing any cover saying that? John's like, you've got to go to academy before you get to read John. Hey, and you've got to be married before you read the Song of Songs. None of you people can do that. It's sealed. If you open it, it's sealed. Your app doesn't even have it. And so I say, read Mark. It's short and it's punchy. Do you know the word immediately is in the book of Mark over 50 times? Mark is that, this is what they say. Now, I don't say it like Pastor Greg here, who's like a Bible teacher, you know. I just say it like a Boilermaker, you know. But they say Mark is like Jesus, you know, with his sleeves rolled up. It's like, hey, I want to talk to the young people, but you don't even get this. But for the older people, remember when Kevin Rudd was going to be the Prime Minister? He said, my name's Kevin, I'm here to help. That was his slogan, you know. It didn't work, didn't last long. Oh, Kev. But that's it. I'm Kevin, I'm here to help. And really, that's what Mark's about. It's like Jesus turns up and says, I'm Jesus, you need me. I don't mean that in a pompous way, but he just said, I'm here to help. So I was telling this detective about, I said, look, there are four stories about Jesus in the Bible. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, now they're not all different. They're the same, but from different vantage points. And this is what he said to me. Brilliant. He said, oh, you mean like when I'm interviewing witnesses to a crime? I said, beautiful. That's exactly what it's like. And so we're taking our story from Mark tonight. And so Jesus has been having a go at some pompous people that thought they were better than they actually were. They knew they weren't that good. They were just trying to fool other people. Look, at the end of the day, you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, you know who you are. You got to put a bit of spack filler on, a red tie, get in a sports car to go out and pretend that the world thinks you're brilliant. Look, I've been there. You know, and I know, that when you get up in the morning, you are you. And that's why Jesus came, to help you be happy with you, warts and all. And so he's told these people off, and then we come to this. So we'll put it on the screen, we'll read a few verses, but don't put it up yet. Don't put it up yet. It's not the story that I'm interested in. It's like the subplay tonight. This is what I really want to say to you. I want you to look at me. I'm not going to say anything more true, or at least with more conviction, than when I say this. If you're a Christian, I want you to do this. Pastor Greg, block your ears. This is a command from God. Stop reading the Bible. Let me go over here, because I don't think you agreed with that. I talked to the young adults in my church about a month, 6 weeks ago, and I got them together and I said, you got to stop reading the Bible. And they all went that quiet. Stand up the last time you said to your wife, you know what? I reckon I need to read our house contract. You don't do that. You don't read a house contract. You study a house contract. You got to stop reading the Bible, because if you read the Bible, then reading it's your goal. So you say, I read my chapter. What do you know? Zip. Because your goal wasn't to know, it was to read. It's not a novel. It's an autobiography. And while we're on it, it's not your autobiography. I meet Christians, I've got to find something for me. It's not your book. I didn't read Nelson Mandela's autobiography to find out about me. I read Nelson Mandela's autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, all 600 plus pages of it, to find out about him. And it made me a better me when I found out about him. This is a story about the life and times of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You read it to get to know him. John 8:32 says, if you know the truth, not if you read the truth. So when our goal, I've got to read my 10 chapters. So you race, oh man, I read my 10 chapters. And you know squat. Because your goal wasn't to know. So what we want to do tonight, you know why preachers get more out of the Bible? Because they read it slower than you. They just read it slow. And so they take time and they see things. But anyone can do it. I hope this isn't saying the wrong thing, but I rarely read more than a chapter at any one time. I don't eat the whole box of Weet-Bix. I don't have a toilet big enough to accommodate what would happen. I just eat enough to be nourished. And by the way, you can't say, oh, I read the Bible. Yeah, I ate Weet-Bix in 1965. But they're not helping me now. So I eat some every day. Enough to nourish me. So if you can hear nothing else tonight, maybe you're brand new in church, don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. Get to know the Bible. And if you know the truth that you know will set you free. Wow. So what we're really only using this little passage of scripture to see if there's anything we can learn. Here it goes. You can put it up now. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, notice how slow I'm reading it. I'm wanting you to see something. Now, Pastor Josh, I don't know if we do this here at Influences, but some of the people will. But I do a devotional. Is that, if you're not in church, like every day I take 15 minutes, sometimes half hour, sometimes an hour, but mostly 15, 20 minutes in terms of my personal, you know, feeding. And I will just sit in a chair and I will do something that is an acronym of the word SOAP, S-O-A-P. Put your hand if you've heard of this. Okay, well, all right, well, it's not weird, it's just, it helps you remember. Soap's a, well, unless you're English, it's a, you know, something you come in contact with on most days. Put your hand if you're English and you got offended. Qantas have planes to go back. All right. So the S stands, shout it out if you're not, the S stands for?
Scripture.
Scripture. So you want to imbibe. Now, read's not a dirty word now that you know, you've got to read to know, but just that read's not the goal. All right. So you start with some scripture. What's the O for? Observe. You want to see something. What's the A for? Apply. Now that you've scripture, you've observed, now you think, well, what can I do about that? Generally, when I see what I can do about it, I realize that's going to be difficult. So the P is for? I pray and ask God to help me apply what I saw when I read. SOAP. You can do it in 10 minutes. You do that for 10 minutes every morning, and when I come back here next year, you'll be one of the strongest Christians that I have ever met in my life. You can read the Bible for the next 10 years, and you'll still trip over the next challenge because it's the wrong goal. So we're going to read it, we're going to observe a couple of things, and then we're all going to go home and see if Australia beat India. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Verse 25, right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Look at this. This is her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. And she begged, this is the mother, she begged Jesus to cast out the demon from her daughter. You got to read it slow enough till you can sort of feel the people in the story. And then it can impact you. Since she was a Gentile, or can I say not a Jew? Oh, and that's too big a lesson to go on about tonight. So it's a good lesson, but not for tonight. She was born in Syrian Phoenicia. Jesus told her, first I should feed the children. My own family, that's the Jews. He was born of Mary. Joseph was his earthly guardian, paternal guide. And he came through the Jews. He said, first, I should feed my own family to the Jews. And look at this. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Ouch. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plate. Have a look at Jesus. Good answer. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly, playing Lego and watching Paw Patrol. And the demon was gone. I've called this, just because it's good to have a title, Woman Gets What She Came For. See, that when I read it, that's what I observed. And I thought, God, you imagine sitting in your chair just for 10 minutes before you go off. You're not going to work on Monday and going to go straight without connecting with the boss to say, what do you want me to do? So you sit for 10 minutes in a chair. I take the scripture and I observe. And the thing that I observed biggest was, wow, this woman came for something and she got it. Have you ever gone for something and you come home from a party and you didn't get what you were looking for? You went to the shop at Christmas time to buy something for your brother-in-law who's really fussy and you didn't get it? This woman teaches us how you get what you want to get. Well, here's the first thing I know. I'm just giving you two, three or four till the clock runs out. Things I observed when I read it slowly. Here's the first. I saw, this sort of jumped out at me. It was the phrase, right away. Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen to what I wrote here. There seems to be a link for the blessing of God on a person based on their response time to what they know they should do. She's got a sick girl. She feels that this immediately Jesus, who's ready for action, comes to town. So what does she do? Right away. That teaches me something. It says right away, verse 25, right away a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Has anyone ever rung you and said, oh, I just heard it was your birthday a month ago? Well, that's, you've really touched me right here. And if I'd have known earlier, I'd have bought you something. Oh, now you're really touching me. And I want to touch you. It's lost its power a month afterwards. I want to go, don't put this scripture up now, but there's a story in the book of Exodus about God's people. God wants them to come out of Egypt where they're slaves and worship him. But their captor, a man named Pharaoh, won't let them. He thinks he's God. And so God comes to him and says, mate, and when he says comes to him, he's got a man named Moses that's God's messenger. So Moses comes to Pharaoh and says to him, Pharaoh, God wants you to let his people go. Well, unlike the woman we just read about, he didn't, if God said it, we'll do that. I found people are favored by God when they respond quickly to something God says. I'm not shooting in the dark here. I'm talking to hundreds of people that have heard God say something. And I'm only simply asking, because I don't know the answer for you, is it how you're doing with that? I've had situations where I'm saying, God, I don't feel you're close. Until finally, it's like he gets her and says, well, I've asked you to do something, mate. Does anyone remember doing Saturday chores as a kid? Mum gives you chores to do. And then what does she say? I'm going shopping. I want you to tidy the lounge room. Now, you're watching Saturday Disney or whatever we used to watch way back then. And so when do you start? When you hear the car driving in the driveway. Am I the only one? It's pretty common, isn't it? And you get this like sort of guilt. So you jump up. You don't turn the TV off. That'd be smart. But you start vacuuming. But you can't reconcile the fact that why mum's not happy. And it's because you started when she got home. And she knows it. And you know it. If you've ever had that moment, and I'm talking to husbands now too, unfortunately, when your wife has done that or mum has done that, and you decided to do it right from the get-go, And she comes home. I'll just be my wife for a minute. Wow. And there's a glow in my house. Next point. So God says to Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, he doesn't do it. And so here we go. Exodus 8. So this is what his man says to him. Okay, Pharaoh, the Nile River will swarm with frogs. They will come up. Have we got a picture of frogs? Can we put the picture up? This is what we're talking about here, folk. We probably can't put the scripture over that, but I'd love to leave it up there just to gross you out. Okay, but it says, the Nile River will swarm with frogs. They will come up out of the river. They will come into your palace, even into your bedroom, onto your doona, dare I say. They will enter the houses of your officials, your people. They will even jump into your ovens and your kneading bowls. Frogs will jump on you, your people, and all your officials. And it happened. So then Pharaoh calls Moses back after the frogs are everywhere. Now, I want you to be Pharaoh. You be Pharaoh. I'll be Moses. I've done a character test, and I think we've done that well. I'm going to ask you, when do you want the frogs gone? Okay, think about it. Oh, here I go. You be Pharaoh. I'll be Moses. I'll ask you. Everyone, just shout it whenever you think, whatever you'd like. When do you want the frogs gone? Sounds sensible to me. Let's look at what Pharaoh did. Exodus 8, 9, and 10. Moses says, you set the time. Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. They will go back to the Nile. And Pharaoh says, do it tomorrow. No wonder he had to have 8 more plagues. You want God to bless your life? Think about how long it's taken you to respond. We got scriptures. Look, I'm not going to read these, but just to show you, Genesis 22:3, put this up. It says, next morning. So God talks to Abraham in the middle of the night. And next morning, as soon as the light, he didn't have headlights on the donkey, so he had to wait till light. He would have ridden off into the dark and hit a kangaroo on his donkey. Not good. So he waited. But as soon as it's light, he's off. Put the next one, 1 Kings 19. Elijah says to Elisha, you should come with me. So Elisha returned to his oxen. He was a farmer. And what did he do? He slaughtered them. He said, well, I'll give that some thought, eh? I'll give it some thought. Yeah, we'll just have a bit of think about that. No, he just goes straight in with the Makita. They're all gone. Feeds the whole town with the oxen, uses the wood from his plow for an offering of fire to God. And then it says at the end, and he went. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus called out to a couple of guys, come follow me. They're fishing. Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. And they said, okay, Jesus, but listen, we've got 4 weeks annual leave, so we'll just do that first. No, it says they left the nets on the beach and they went. These are the people that changed the world. You don't get this if you just read it. Slowly see, what am I seeing? This woman's onto it. Pastor Josh, last Wednesday, I was sitting at my desk. I pastor a church. Now look, Pastor Josh, I know you know what I'm about to say. And Steve, you know, Greg, you know it. But before I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm just a punter. I'm just trying to hear God and do it. And I don't always. But I've learned the difference of what happens when I do and when I don't. Sometimes I've had to have 8 more trials and challenges because I thought later. I was sitting at my desk last Wednesday. True story. I don't know why. I just felt something. I said to Nicole, the girl who works in our offices, Nicole, I'll be back in a couple of hours. I'm going to go visit my dad. I haven't seen my dad for a year. He's 86. I've talked to him on the phone. He lives out of town, but he's been moved into town because he's not been too well, staying at one of my sister's houses, and I have 7 sisters. I just said to Nicole, "Nicole, I'm going to go visit my dad. I'll be back in a couple of hours." So I got on my motorbike, rode into the city where my sister lives, and parked the bike, went in, and there's another one of my sisters there who's a pastor of a church. My dad walked away from Jesus about 45 years ago. There's my sister Julie Blas, pastor of a church there, and Steve's there, pastor of a church. My dad's totally coherent. We talk to him for an hour. We give him a hug, we give him a kiss. And I said, "See you later." And I went home. Woke up Thursday morning, turned my phone on, there's a text. "Dad died at 2:30 a.m. this morning." I just felt, I'm glad I responded right away. I'm busy today. I'll go tomorrow. I don't know what's riding in the balance for you. Maybe you've got to say yes to Jesus for the first time. And you'll have reasons why not to. I didn't feel a loud thumping. It was just like a little thing. You should do this. I got up and did it. I felt blessed. There's so many times I've missed it because I thought I'll do it later. What I see in this woman, she did it straight away. Second thing I see here is that Jesus didn't say no. I just saw that because I've heard people preach about this where he calls her a dog and everything, and they get tripped on that. Has anyone here, block your ears. Has anyone here ever been to the birth of a child? I have a brand new grandson, 6 days old. He was 9 pound and a week and a half early. He couldn't get out. They had the suck things and the hook things and the tow truck till finally they got the circular saw out and pulled him out, you know. Well, that's the Boilermaker's version anyway. And there he is. He's awesome. But have you ever been to a birth? Come, put your hand up if you have, because some of you have. It's not pretty. I remember when my first daughter was born. She's 35 years old. She was 9 pounds 7, the smallest of our four children. She came out, spare the details, and the doctor said to me, "You want to hold her?" I'm telling you, no lies. I said, "You want to wash her?" I mean, whenever did they get born and get thrown in a custard vat? I'm not touching that, mate. And then he said to me, I'm telling you no lies. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not even preaching now. I'm telling the truth. I quote, he said to me, "We like to let the father hold them before we take them out to wash them so he knows we bring the right one back." I said, "I don't care which one you bring back, mate, as long as you've hosed it off. I just don't care." I know people that get offended at things like Jesus saying to her, you know, "Should I give what's the kids and give it to the dog?" Because they make a, you know, it's an association. He called her a dog. Well, he didn't. It's a metaphor. In fact, if you look at the original language, it's not dog, it's little dog. Which from, I believe, is the word puppy. It's very hard to offend someone and say, "I'm not going to give it to the puppy." You can't offend someone calling him a puppy. And you say, "Well, why didn't they put puppy in the Bible?" Because it wasn't a word till the 15th century. They didn't have a word puppy. They called them little dogs. I was in America about 6 weeks ago preaching, and I said the word mozzie. No one laughed. And it's two services, so between the services, the pastor's wife came to me, an Australian lady, and said, "Notice no one laughed when you said mozzie." I said, yeah, I did notice it was quiet. She said, they don't call it a mozzie. I said, what do they call it? She said, mosquito. I said, that'll work. Look, can I say this? And all I observed this. She didn't get offended, so why should you? Jesus knows exactly how to stimulate faith in a person. And look, go with me. For some people, it's a philosophical argument that they go, ooh. For some people, it's just a hug and they melt. For another person, this woman, it's banter. That's it. I'll prove it. Jesus says, should I take what is the children and give it to the puppies? And she goes, yeah, good one, Lord. But even the puppies. She just shoots straight back. She didn't say, you hurt me, you mongrel, which would still be with the dog theme. Just so I can't get in trouble after. Hello. But she didn't do that because she realised he's not being personal, it's banter. Look, later in the chapter, Jesus heals a deaf guy. He's deaf. He said, Jesus, can you heal me? He said, easy. Spits in his eyeball. Just spits on him. In fact, he spits on his finger, doesn't he? And then sticks it in his ear. Put your hand up if you say, yeah, that'd get me going. Well, then you got chapter 8, there's a blind guy. And now the deaf guy's lucky because the blind guy didn't see it coming. True. Blind guy steps up, and I'm not having to go at blind folk at all, but blind guy steps up. He says, I heard you healed a deaf bloke. Can you do something for me? He said, sure can, mate. Put it on me. And all he hears is... he's saying, whoa, buddy, maybe you need me to pray for you. Sounds like you got a bit of bronchi going on. And Jesus said, no, just working up a miracle. And then kapoosh, kapoosh, just oysters Kilpatrick, both eyeballs. Look, if you'd, I know all you young people have got videos to look forward to before you have children. They didn't show me any. I wouldn't have had any if they showed me them. But I went into that room not to worship the process, but to have a baby. We get offended at the way Jesus wants to do the miracle. Do you want a miracle? Let him be him. I got to finish. Steve Jobs worked for Atari and he wanted to go off and find a guru, apparently, if you've read his book, and some of you here will have. And so his boss, the Atari boss, says to him, listen, I'm happy you go find your guru, but on the way, could you stop in Asia and help him fix your computer problems? This is like the 70s. It's, you know, it's not like today where a four-year-old can do it. But Steve Jobs, if you've read the book, and some of you would have, he didn't like to shower or use deodorant. He stunk. His friends called him Lazarus. So he said, all right, I'll do it. So he goes and does the work on the computers in Asia, you know, getting the sectors to talk to each other, and goes off to find the guru. The people ring the Atari boss and says, that bloke you sent us to fix... Would they have done it in an Asian accent? But I haven't got that. But that bloke you sent us to fix a computer. And Mr. Atari said, yeah. He said, oh, mate, he stunk. You know what Mr. Atari said? Did he fix your computer? And they said, oh, yeah. And you know what Mr. Atari said next? Next time it breaks, I got another stinky person. Just focus on the miracle. God might ask you to stand on your head, give away $100. Whatever he says, if he's asking you to do it, you will be the beneficiary. You will get blessed. Just do it right away. And go with it. And lastly, because we're done, 2 minutes. This is just what I observed. because I didn't try to read it. Does it work? Does it? You know we can't hear it. Moon River. Make me look good. This is all I want to tell you. This is, I didn't try to read it, Pastor Josh. I didn't even try to make this a sermon. This was devotions. And I realized she jumped the queue. I just feel there's people here. I just felt Holy Spirit say, you've been waiting in line a long time. You can jump the queue. Jesus said, should I take what is for these people and give it to you? Because he said first, which meant you're not first. So he wasn't saying no. He was just saying there's an order. But she came back at him with some spunk, with some persistence, with, I'm not getting offended, I want a miracle. My need's too big to get offended. And he said, what'd she say? She said, but don't the little puppies get the scraps, the children? Where do the little puppies get these scraps? See, you think, I thought, oh, it's after the meal's over, then the dogs come in. No, I'm one of 12 children. No, the dogs are there at the beginning, mate. And all that hard work Mum did, I reject and throw it to the puppies. The Jews were rejecting what Jesus wanted. She said, well, I'm ready under the table to take it. And he said, I like you, I like you. I said it was good, but they called it scraps, so you can have the best. And I just feel, this is what I felt, and I'm done. I wrote this on the bottom of my notes. I just felt God say this. You're waiting for God to do something. I felt Holy Spirit say, the truth is for some of us, he's waiting for us. He's waiting for you to say, God, now, okay, you're talking to me, I'll do it. And listen to me, it'll be different for lots. Do you know what some of you need to do? You need to forgive someone. And your miracle's there. Someone else, you owe someone some money. Yep, you thought about it. Just pay it back. Just write the card. Visit the person. Just do what you feel to do. And I feel God saying, I will lead you right to the front of the queue.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.